He said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, I thank you for a time like this. As your word is taught this evening concerning the things of the Spirit, our hearts and our minds are much more enlightened in the knowledge of you. Our eyes behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. He is glorified and we are edified in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we began a series on Saturday. So, I just challenge you to take on the series because this is a longer series. Just take on it and then see how we can break it into the coming days and coming weeks. Hallelujah. So we're looking at pneumaticals. You know, the subject on pneumatical, that is the subject on the Spirit, is a subject that as believers we have to keep getting ourselves, you know, you have to keep yourself in constant reminder of, or you have to keep yourself in constant reminder of better used. Amen. It's a teaching you don't outgrow. Hope you're following me. It's a teaching you don't outgrow. Just like teaching about leading of the Spirit. No, leading of the Spirit is under pneumaticals. Hope you know that. What? Those are teachings you don't outgrow. They are very vital, sensitive teachings. So we started off on Saturday. Some of you were not in. Saturday on pneumaticals. So let's see a couple of things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So what we're doing tonight is looking at some of the things we said and then going into some details. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians 12 verses 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Actually the word give there, charisma. The word give there is italicized. So what Paul said is, now concerning spiritual, it shows a focus. When you use the word concerning them, is the word peri. So it means Paul is saying, and the word peri means to, is used, Paul will use it before now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm preaching something else. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just get to chapter 16 quickly. Now it says, now concerning the collection for the saints. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Concerning. So when you use the word concerning there, it's a word that means, okay, this is our focus.
Yes, as touching.
This is, it shows you a focus. So it says, now concerning spiritual, it shows you Paul's focus. I'll put it this way, it shows you Paul's theme, Paul's focus to the church at Corinth. So now concerning spiritual, brethren. Concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, when he uses that word ignorant, Father, why I'm going this way. Okay. When you use that word ignorant, first of all, let's see. Like I've always told us, the background to 1 Corinthians 12 is chapter 11, verse 17. Look what it says in verse 17. That's the background. I said, now, this I declare unto you, I pray you know, that when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. You see that? So, he is addressing their gathering. He said, when they gather, the result of their gathering is actually for the worse. Whereas, it's supposed to be for the better. So when you gather, the result of your gathering is actually you turned out badly. That's what he's saying. You turned out badly. And you're not going to turn out badly. Hope you're following me. He said, I heard, if you read for that, he said, I heard that they are strife. First of all, when you come together in the church, he addressed and he said, I hear that there be divisions amongst you. Watch this. So they had an issue. So they turned out badly. There's divisions among you. Say, in part, I believe it. So verse 19 says, therefore, there must also be heresies. The word heresies, there's the word factions amongst you.
that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place. He said, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
Paul is addressing something here. He said, when you come together, he said, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper.
That is to say, you remember,
I'm trying to give you a background. Now, if you get to Acts 2, what did they do when they come together? They had the broke bread. Did you see that? They broke bread. Acts 2. Let's get to Acts 2. Acts 2.
Okay, verses 42. Look at something there. Okay. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did you see that?
So they had that fellowship. Amen. They were breaking bread, they were praying.
They actually broke bread, they ate.
Listen to that. Amen. They broke bread. And I showed you that breaking bread, which is the act of eating together, shows what? Unity.
Hope you're following me.
Exactly what I was about to say. Don't use those two. That makes it sad.
Okay. Amen. So, what was that?
So, eating in their world was used to show acceptance. So, what they depict by eating together was to show their union together.
Amen.
Amen. So, they broke bread together. Is normal among the Jews. It's normal among the Jews to show acceptance to eat together. In fact, they actually would eat from the same bowl. That's what it is. Amen. And you find that as a consistent practice in the book of Acts. Did you see that? In the so you get to Acts 3. Don't lose the reason for it. To show that we are one. We are from, we are at Delphos. We are brethren. So I can't call you brethren and we don't eat together. You see that? I can call you brethren, and one act is that when we are together, we eat together. It's a culture that you also find in the African setting, where you are told as a family, when you are growing up, we all eat on the same bowl to show that we are family. You find it in some African culture. We eat together on the same bowl. What about when we are now big? You cannot eat. So some people think that is actually because children can eat to get on their own, so we are children, so we eat on the same bowl. No, it's actually not. It's a family thing. In fact, up until today, if I visit my father's house, and my elder brother is around, my mother will say, let her serve our food together. Amen. Amen. It's just a normal practice to show that. So the moment you say, not to eat alone, it's like, I even without brothers. Did you see? Here's no brothers again. This is. So it's not that we are not brother, but that is to show we are brother. I don't know if you are east, you understand. So they adopted that, like we say, in the culture in their world, God will permit it. That is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Amen. Jesus will do that to the Pharisees. I mean, you can say Pharisees will do that to the publicans. Hope you're following me. And the Pharisees will say, why is he eating with the publican? About that, in the wickedness chapter, they now call them friends with the publicans. Do you see that? So that attitude is to show friendship. We are one, we are together. So they have the same thing in chapter 3, the same attitude. You find it in chapter 6. They now come together as a church and they will serve tables. Do you see that? So because the widows have multiplied, so the widows had special treatment. Did you see that? Something that Paul will later now address to Timothy. Well, we're not looking at Timothy. Amen. That's it. So they now have special department for the widows. But this shows you that they still come together to eat. You remember that? To eat in church. So they shared zobu. Yeah, you see that. So yeah, it says zobo. Okay, jam donuts. Zobo is food. Jam donuts and malt. Amen. Jam donuts and malt. You don't know that. That's the regulation. I'll talk about it in years to come. Jam donuts. And it's Ijoba that supplied it. Amen. He supplied it. Amen.
I will never forget. We were looking for money in church. We didn't have money. After a wonderful meeting. So they were left over. I thought they said, oh, we're going to use the money to do something in church. Now we need to just say, let's just squander everything. Cancel, cancel. Let it go back to zero. And then he gets back. I guess that was 2014, right? 2014, yeah. And we were going to do council, council. Everybody had jammed on us and more. And they did it when I was not there. This is crazy. They went. Then I'm bright. I'm sicker. No, I think she just keep quiet. She was, I'll prefer that Isika didn't let you know. Isika didn't even let me know. Because he came to give me a report. How he, I didn't go with you guys. I went to work, right? Something like that. I didn't go with you guys. So I called him, gave me a report. He gave me the whole report. And he skipped the major detail. The canality, he skipped it. So he got hard punishment. So when it comes to the book of, now, because that was how the early church started. And very vital. Tunde said something to me years back, a friend of mine. So, years back, when we just started ministry, he said, see, man, as we have started ministry, that's what he said. And we started ministry, there are some things you must make sure you don't allow. Little things helped us. Not just me. Okay, help me. Let me just do that. Help me. He said, there are some things you must not allow. I said, what? So, we got discussing. Now this was part of the things that came up. But though we didn't analyze it out, we didn't look at it the way I'm going to teach you today. You understand? Amen. Amen. So, even though we didn't look at it the way I'm going to teach you today, but a bit of it we're going to look at it. So, but like, there are some things that when you allow in ministry, when you allow them, it will be part of people. And not that it will be part of people. You will not be able to stop it. That's what we will take to the extreme. And he said that to me concerning Zoom. Did you see that? He said that to me concerning Zoom. He said that I was giving Zoom. He said, why are you giving Zoom? I got no bribery. I said, no, it's not bribery. You know, when they cry, it's not any bribery. But when I stopped, I said it was bribery. So, you know, and the way we do it is that he told me the first time and I just blanked him. I blanked him. Forget it. That's not what I'm saying. So we went further. So I went further to things like tagging or tag, that kind of thing, and some other things. And then he said some couple of things around some ministers and which I can't talk about, you know. So we were like this. And that was the point we now said things like, we will be so adjustable to God's spirit that at any point in time, if there is correction on the things we've done in the work of ministry that is wrong, we will be ready to readjust. That became a commitment. And it became a commitment till today. And still saying, I love, if I make a mistake, I'm open for correction by your spirit. Very easy. You know, it helps you. You know the way you flow the things of the spirit by your word. Amen. I'm open for your correction. No, but people can get so angry. Amen. But you can get as long as saying, Holy Spirit is not Holy Ghost. I head down from God himself. And you can still be corrected. Just interpretation. Hope you're going to hear me. Amen. So you must be open for correction. From God's Spirit. Yes. So that was where we said those things. So he said those things along that line. And I was like, okay. I just didn't stop him. I didn't add. Tunde being who he was, we didn't even talk about it, but we discussed. I didn't stop till like about close to a year. I guess it was when I came back from school one time. And I also had a taking into an extreme. I went to school, I handed over to Justice. So what Justice was now doing was, because Justice couldn't use his house, we're using his house, so he was going to use my house. So he now took me to his house. So he couldn't use his house again. And I said, okay, you know what? Because brothers were not coming like that. And they couldn't keep up with the fact that I was always giving Zobo and Kuru. So they couldn't keep up. You wouldn't be able to keep up with it now. They didn't know what I did to get it. You understand? So, and I didn't even show them what I was doing to get that.
So iPhone is just okay. Membership and dog.
Dog favorite.
Talking to group evangelism. He now started going from house to house. So meeting was now rotational. I'm serious. Church, I just started. But now rotational. Me, I've gone to school.
I've forgotten that there was anything close over. I just take record of what I So because I started ministry there, and in school, there was nothing like Zoom. Everybody is the one.
Do you understand?
So, you know, so for them to now sustain it, they now started going from brethren to brethren. They were not having, they now had a roster. And nobody told me.
How was meeting fine? How did you minister? In fact, I would tell them what to minister. Did you?
So I had a list of messages, and I would tell them, go and listen to this, and I'm necessarily not, might not be me that ministered it, might be Pastor Peter. I said, just listen to it and then minister. I'll call you or something, and I'll point the attention to some materials and say, go and read it and minister. That's what we were doing. So I didn't take note of where were they having meeting. So I came back, I got that they were having meeting in different houses, so they don't have the roster.
We'll have in your house today. So we're coming to your house this weekend. We will cater for the wedding. So let me, so as a John meeting, pastor, no meal.
Pastor, no, no. Next week, we'll be having meeting in Dixon's house. So automatically, Dixon goes to his parents and say, we're having church here. We're having fellowship here.
And when they come, sir, they're going to give us 1,000 naira to buy Zoom.
So when I came, so I came back that day. I came back on a Friday. So I met with them. Mel Justice, Mel wrote to me. Justice wrote to me. Mel Justice, Mel wrote to me. Okay, how's meeting? They just gave me update. Nobody told me that meeting was not holding in my place. So I was prepared and I was looking for meeting. Before I knew it, my younger sister, Karen Weber, was leaving. I said, why are you going to? Are you not coming for church? I said, no. That meeting is holding in at the house. Did you check his bed? They said, no. That's why she now gave me update. That will go from house to house. So they picked up on scripture, they went from house to house breaking with the breaking of bread. So house to house, okay. She didn't tell me that in each house they would share. Listen.
So I went to the house. And pastor is around.
I guess. Yeah, it was just in that spoke that pastor is around and pastor is the one teaching us. So immediately I took over immediately to discover that I saw a lot of new faces
that came from new things.
So some people were still meeting me for the first time. Hallelujah. So that is okay now. But it's coming here. They are coming here. Amen. So
okay. So I met new faces.
When I was on teaching staff, we shared, we don't sit there and then we pray it and then we usually share grace, we just share the grace. I'm about to leave, I just saw cabin biscuit and
I don't come like that. Why do you get money? He said, no, every house will go, they must go store. I see this.
I don't call justice and wrote me. I said, is that what you want to say?
Because they couldn't continue spending from their money. So they just have to, every family will have to break bread.
I said, it's wonderful. And then immediately what Tune told me flashed. Flashed. I said, no problem. We'll deal with it. So the next time they came, there was no Zobo. After that day, membership dropped. I told them, no Zobo what? Is it Zobo you're talking about the word?
I remember membership dropped, but those were the real people.
The ones that stayed were the real ones.
The rest were just coming for food. We really couldn't buy from Monday to Saturday. They would come and take it in church.
Anyway, it's so funny. But that was what will happen. Okay, hope you are following me. Amen. So, come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So,
when it comes to, where was I?
So, I took that off from
Acts 2. So they had that practice. See, it's a practice that I said when you come together, you eat together. Right?
So as soon as you find that through in chapter 6, like I said. But when you are getting to Corinth,
so when the gospel goes to Corinth, where's the Bible? Amen.
So when the gospel goes to Corinth,
they don't have the same attitude.
Okay,
they don't have the same attitude.
But is there anything wrong with eating together? But is it eating together that makes you know that you are pregnant? Hope you're following. Can you see the difference? Eh? Is there anything wrong with eating together? No. But is that the hallmark of your salvation? No. Hope you're following that. So they will now come together to eat. Now the issue now is happening that Corinth, all like Jerusalem. Watch it. All like Jerusalem, when they had it as a culture. To eat, like it was a normal culture within them to eat. But Corinth is not just the Jews that are there, they have the Gentiles. Amen. Amen. It was more of a commercialized city center. Corinth is a city center. So they have people from different walks of life. And at this point, those that were Jews also brought food.
They don't have rich people, they don't have poor people. That's Corinth. Corinth has rich and poor.
Big rich guys.
Guys who are rich. So those guys who are rich, they do not have connection.
The rich to the rich, the poor to the poor. Something like that.
Divisions. Hope you are seeing the levels of divisions.
Yeah? But the point that, listen,
part of their issue is food quality. Amen. Among every other issue that they have, but I'm
closing in on food because that's why we go here.
Amen. Amen. So the rich guys will bring rich food. They will bring Chinese food, for example, Chinese. And the ones who really have, who don't have money, what will they bring? So we can find soup.
Small. And those who don't have at all will come. While others are eating, they will be licking their mouth. Yeah?
So, others said, come on. That's wrong. The poor is not addressing. So, they don't have factions.
The rich to the rich. Do you know how to use fake and knife? No, you're not in our class. Go and learn it. Yeah? You know how to use hand. Look out. Go ahead! So, they just had factions, this kind of factions.
So Paul now says, when we come together, is it to eat food?
That's what he said. Hope you understand that now. 1 Corinthians chapter, that is chapter 11. So that becomes the background. So Paul was addressing, remember, okay, I'm going to get there. Paul was addressing something very vital. Chapter 11, look at verses 19. It says, verses 20, it says, when you come together therefore in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's supper. Do you see that? Hallelujah. In fact, even question the reverse and say, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in?
Do you see that? Then don't you have houses to eat and to drink?
So he came to them. Came at them.
Do you see that? So what can we eat together? We call it the Lord's Supper. You know, people have taken it to the extreme.
This is to eat supper. This is to eat the Lord's Supper. So Paul answered, no, this is what actually the Lord's Supper is. In verse 54. Did you see that? He was not referring to food. He was referring to spirit.
What are you following that? So he now closes in the chapter. Then he now concerning spiritual.
So that means, rather than we coming together and our focus is what we are going to eat physically,
when we come together, what should be our focus should be spiritual.
How do
we
focus on spiritual?
What are you following? Spiritual.
Close it on it immediately. Spiritual.
So, I remember in the last series, I told us that we're going to look at that in the next section, that the
Pneumatology, right? Pneumatology is practiced in the ecclesia.
Amen. Amen. That is the place where we have the practice of the pneuma. The practice of the pneuma. Amen. The pneuma must be found in the ecclesia.
We'll make it on that shortly as we go ahead in this series. So it's very vital.
Very, very vital. So Paul and Aaron will come together in the spirit. In the spirit. Amen. In the spirit.
So when he says now concerning spiritual, is it going to be in their gathering?
Yes.
He said, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
That word is the word agnoio.
Ignorance. It's the word you use for a willful ignorance.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, I said that word will carry, so me, in this, for the purpose of this teaching, it will carry two folds. Agnoio will carry two folds. One, which is the major one, right? Which is what it actually means in context, right? Will be on willful ignorance. When it means it will be on willful ignorance. And that is Paul's emphasis here. Willful ignorance. Where it deals with the application. It deals with the application. Why? Because when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul said something so very vital and significant. He says, for when he told them, ye came behind the Nogi.
They came behind the Nogi. He told them in chapter 2, verse 1, that my preaching and my teaching, chapter 2, verse 1, that my preaching and my teaching and my preaching were not in the exact words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power.
That your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, following it. So that means these guys were not new to the things of the Spirit.
That's what Paul is saying. Amen. They came behind the gift of the Spirit. So that means they were not new to the things of the Spirit.
They're not just hearing for the first time.
But yet, Paul said they were babes. They acted as babes. Did you see that? So that means what Paul was dealing with was actually with the application of the Spirit.
So where will you find the application of the Spirit? In the gathering.
We're getting there. Hallelujah.
So Paul deals with the application here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the other word you will see, though not said by Paul, but it was implied, was that Paul went further again to start telling them about the gift that is in the Spirit. Something that he already had told them that they came behind in none of them. So he still went again to tell them about the gift. There are nine gifts in the Spirit. The nine faculties of
the Spirit.
Okay, believe me. Amen. He went back again to talk about it. But he read chapter 1, verse 7. He said they came behind in none of it. Okay, following. Okay, following that. They came behind in none of it, but he still mentioned it again to them. To show you that that can also form another fold to read. Where you are not even aware of it.
So Paul will say, shall we make it?
So the twofold there is that in terms of the ignorance, as will be taught in this series, will be one, the application of, firstly put, one, not knowing it at all, and then the application of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I have in my notes here, if first of all we inform them about the gifts that are available in the Spirit, right, as though they were not aware, but they came behind in none of them. Before he now narrows it to the application.
He's mentioned it then, he narrows it. He said, desire the best gift. In our chapter 13. Do I speak in tongues of men and in tongues of India and I have not more. You see that? So he narrows it. He narrows it after he has shown them what it is.
Very vital. Hallelujah. So that means you need to know what is actually spiritual.
You have to know it.
Know it, then you apply it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Know it. So I have in my notes, ignorance therefore will deal with understanding what spirituals is and then the application of it. Understanding what it is. Understanding what spirituals is.
Now the word spirituals there is the word pneumaticus. You want to forget to do that. Amen.
Get to that. So Daddy Hagin will say this. Okay. Daddy Hagin will say, if the things of the Spirit are not taught, they will be lost in this generation. So the things of the Spirit has got to be taught.
Amen. The things of the Spirit are not taught effectively. They will be lost. They'll be lost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why you see some people ask them, what do you know about the Spirit? All they remember is calabash. All they remember is
mommy water. All they remember is familiar spirit. That's all they know. What do you know about the spiritual? What do you know about spiritual?
Spiritual. Inside three. That's all they tell you. That witches used to gather inside three. That's all they know. So what they know about spiritual is witches. They don't even know any other thing about spiritual. Ignorant. And they're Christians. They know nothing about it. That means if it is not well taught, it will be lost. Hallelujah. We're lost. So that is why Paul will pray for the church. For the churches. Paul's prayer for the churches. If you watch Paul's prayer for the churches, it is actually prayer for knowledge. Knowledge. Hallelujah. Knowledge. Why will he pray for knowledge?
All the knowledge, Philippians 4, that the communication of your faith will become effectual, effective, by the acknowledging of every good thing, which is in you in Christ Jesus. So when you use the word communication of your faith, then it was referring to his work, as he said in verses 4, Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, you don't see, his work that was spoken of in verse 4 and verse 5. Now that the communication of it will become effectual when you know. So Paul prays for their knowledge.
Hallelujah. So that means he's telling you that your worship of God will be effective to the knowledge you have come to know about Christ.
The effectiveness of your worship of God is to the degree of your knowledge.
The effectiveness of your worship of God is the degree of your knowledge.
So then, when it comes to the issue or the teaching on pneumaticals, which is the things of the Spirit concerning spiritual, is a teaching that you mustn't rush. It's a teaching that you must take your time to do it very well to the Christian faith. Like we saw last Saturday, we saw that the believer had begun in the Spirit. So that means it is a teaching that is very vital. Hallelujah. Vital.
Very vital. Spiritual. That's the word in the Greek, like I said, pneumaticos. That word means, it's from another word, pneuma. Pneuma. It's from the word pneuma, where you have the word breath. I mean, spirit.
Pneuma. Spirit. Air. Hallelujah. Breath. Breath.
Hallelujah. Pneuma. Pneuma. So, that word pneumaticos means things of the Spirit
from and by the Spirit.
Things of the Spirit, things from the Spirit, things by the Spirit. Things of the Spirit, from and by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we said in the last series, or like I've taught you,
when you hear the word pneumaticals, you will find out what was said around it, right? Around the word pneumaticals, that it's talking about the pneuma. So wherever you find the word pneumaticals, check around. That context, something has been said concerning pneuma. Pneuma, which is the Spirit. Okay, so that is it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul said, from verse 12. So what?
Now we receive not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God. That we may know those things that before given to us. Say, which thing will speak? Not in the world, which is
woman wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. They compare spiritual with spiritual.
You see, two of them, pneumaticals with pneumaticals.
And the word pneumaticals there
is referring to both the believer and the gospel.
Both the believer and the gospel. Why do we say so? Look at how the word pneuma was used around that verse. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, my teaching and my preaching but not the exciting words of man's wisdom, but word of demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now look at the word there. It says, my teaching and my preaching. So it's referring to the gospel. Amen. So what do they call the gospel? He says it is apodexis, which is the word demonstration. Apodexis, which is putting light on a dark subject. And he said it is the work of the Spirit when the gospel is taught. When the gospel is preached, the work of the Spirit is what putting forth light in dark places. Amen. Which is the dark places of the heart. So he calls the preaching of the gospel the work of the Spirit. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. So in verses 12, or verse 9, he said, I have not seen, let us hear, let us enter the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He said, but God has revealed them to him by the Spirit of God. What man knows the things of the man, except the Spirit which is in him? He said, the things of God know no man, but the Spirit of God have it. But we see not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. Is that? Amen? So another point time you find the word Spirit used again is what we will receive. Amen. What we will receive. So that's it for the believer. So he used Spirit there for the gospel. He used Spirit there for what we receive, the believer. So when he now says, compare spiritual with spiritual, what does he use spiritual with spiritual for? Or what does he use Spirit for? Twice, he has used it for the gospel and used it for the man who believes. Right? So that means when he says compare spiritual with spiritual, is between the man that believes and the gospel. Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, I cannot speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto men. So he says, though they are spiritual, but he cannot speak to them as they are. Why did he say, I cannot speak as unto spiritual? First of all, understand what was their identity before now. In chapter 1, in chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, what was their identity? Spiritual. Now, that I cannot speak to you as unto spiritual. You see that? Amen. So that means spiritual is used for information in the Spirit, the gospel. And spiritual is used for the man in the Spirit, the believer. Come here, follow me. Amen. Man in the Spirit, man from the Spirit. So when you get to chapter 10, it now talks about the, it says, don't be foreign. That was also the word anointing. Amen. Concerning our Father. It says the path. I mean, he spoke about the identification with Moses. He now said the ate of that spiritual, they drank of that spiritual rock. They ate spiritual food. Did you see that? They drank of the spiritual rock. When you use the word spiritual there again, you don't have to ask, what is the word spiritual doing there? Now, spiritual, as we grew up, to go back again to how spirit has been used. Has been used how for the gospel, information to the Spirit, right? That means the rock, there will be information that went about with that. And that information is Christ. Come and follow me. Amen? So the rock, though, funny enough, is that you now find that the rock was prefigured in the miracle. But yet, Paul is saying, what you had as a rock that followed them was not a physical rock. What followed them was a spiritual rock, which is the gospel. The information in the Spirit. Okay, follow me. Amen. Did they eat of the spiritual food yet? But Paul is, did they eat of the food yet? But Moses, that food will be a miracle. And where would that miracle come from? The heaven. Heaven will be spiritual. Okay, follow me. I need to marry it with what we said on Saturday. Heaven will be spiritual. Hallelujah. Okay, no, we didn't take a detour from what we were looking at on Saturday. We just have to put things in order. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So heaven will be spiritual. Amen. So when we talk on Saturday, I'll pick it up on Saturday. I'll pick it up on Monday. So don't worry. Amen. I did it on purpose. Amen. So heaven will be spiritual. Right? Heaven will be spiritual. Hope you're following. So the bread will come from heaven. So Paul will say spiritual. Hope you're following that. But when he calls spiritual food, you should understand is that spiritual food is actually information in the Spirit. Okay, following me. So the spiritual food in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 will be information in the Spirit, which will be the gospel. Okay, following me. The gospel. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. A quick one. Just a little.
So we now began to say,
like what happened. So when he says we have begun in the spirit, that we have received the spirit, that would be a direct quotation from, like, you're picking the words from the mouth of Jesus. Do you see that on Saturday? Like you are picking the words directly from the word word. That is, Paul picked those words directly from the mouth of Jesus.
When he said in John 3, verses 3, he says,
except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The argument is this. Nicodemus answered, he said, except a man be born of water, that is the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You get to verse 8. He said, that which is born of the flesh is spirit, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. But born of the spirit is to mean, okay.
Okay, new birth. Okay, born of the spirit is that if he took it from the mouth of Jesus. Now, if we get to, now, remember, what is he talking about? To be born again is to be born of the spirit. You see that?
Amen, to be born of the spirit.
So when you get to verses 15 into 16 of John 3, he now said, he now interchange, like I said, he will not interchange the use of the word spirit with life. Hallelujah. So to be born again, to be born of the spirit, is to receive the spirit.
Like you took it off the mouth of Jesus. Of your body. Like you took it off the mouth of Jesus. So Paul, I mean, Jesus will not use spirit and life interchangeably. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, to say that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
But look at something he said in verse 15. No. Okay, look at verse 17. Yeah. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Might be saved. So that is to show you that when he talked about the life there, in verses 16 and 15, okay, 15, but should have eternal life, should not perish, but whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, that life there is talking about is that being saved.
That is the
being
born again, that is the receiving of the spirit. Is that? So, when you use the word eternal life, as remember I said, it's used interchangeably, right?
So, when you use the word eternal life, it's a life, is a subject that I said, we need close attention, we need to pay attention to.
Hallelujah. Because in our world today, when you hear the word eternal life, what comes to your head is, eternal life. I want to live eternal life. God save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God save. Oh, eternal. So, God, oh Lord, I want to live eternal life. Save my soul.
So where we began to be,
where we're on our road to becoming world men.
They say, no! We don't try to live eternal life.
We've got eternal life. Amen. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the very life of God that supplants the human life. So therefore, I don't have human life. I have eternal life. That is, if you tear my hands, you will not see blood. What you see is eternal life. It will take long. And then I will give you my teeth.
No, it's not a joke with this one. So let me go there.
Hallelujah. But
it
takes long. Sometimes I put one of my friends, they rush to the song. And you
tell
when they rush to the place, I put one into two.
And say, just like Kubi will always say, with all your zoe. You know, it was as if when you take drugs, you're a sinner. Royal you know, Zoe, you are taking paracetamol. Paracetamol was a sin. How? Paracetamol. So meaning if you can't deal with headache. Small headache. How can you deal with life?
When the headache, I heard some people rampage.
No. Amen. Oh, what my day? Eternal life. I don't walk with blood. It's a genetic. I have a genetic reconstruction.
That's true, though.
Amen. My friend Tunde would tease me that time. He says, man. Now one day, now says, no! I told him, I don't live on it. That's this man, you know.
That guy taunted me. He haunted my soul. I said, no.
We'll walk towards Arthur Gate.
Turn on the road. I have eternal life. And no car will jam me. I'm ready to say, you don't understand.
That you don't understand is, I'm taking myself out of the room.
You don't understand.
And then, no, I don't even know what I said before. Don't let me know where to buy a list of it.
Share yourself.
That guy haunted my soul. Once one day I look at him and I say to him, is it that what you said? You don't believe what you said. He said, no. I don't know. Because you're the one that said eternal life is a genetic reconstruction of the events of the soul.
Maybe I don't believe it
all. Or you're just saying it so that you can just.
That guy haunted me.
That's like today, sometimes when I call him up, I feel like I should haunt him. I just, the love of God will just fill my heart. I feel like I will haunt him. But I told him something. I think it's this scripture on me. But that guy haunted me. Whenever I call him, I just say, ah! Should I do this? Should I pay him back?
Should I pay?
Because if you know him today, you just say, Pastor, just pay him back.
I just pray for him.
Amen. Okay. He haunted me. Well, there was one person that haunted me today. He did. Amen. But the person he haunted most was Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah was the hybrid version of my of me.
Hybrid! Jeremiah was hybrid.
Even me, I haunted Jeremiah. I haunted him. I love this guy. Hallelujah. So, when you know what eternal life is, a language in their world. Okay? It's used for the reign. In fact, the new eternal life is the reign of the Messiah. It was not a kind of blood. No, it was used for the reign of the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Okay. They knew. So it was not easy. Nobody was thinking eternal life will happen in heaven. Because even the use of the word eternal, I've taught you that. You can look at the teaching on eternity. You have to read in context to know what eternal is. Right? Right? So eternal, the Jews knew that there would be a Messiah. How many know that the Jews knew? The Pharisees knew that there would be a Messiah. You know, they didn't know. However, when he showed up, they didn't see him. Because they didn't know that God was going to come. They knew.
They knew that the Messiah was going to come. Didn't
he? In fact, it's evident in the scriptures. So very clear. Hallelujah. So let me say that they knew. Hallelujah. And they knew that when the Messiah comes, he will reign. And his reign will be an eternal reign. Do you get me? They knew that the Messiah will come and he will reign. He will come in the flesh and he will reign. Amen. That was why Moses. Look at Moses.
Look at Moses. Moses saw all the glory of God. All of it. All of it. Now he saw all that in greater glory.
He saw all the glory of God. And the people were like, wow. Wow! All his glory, splendor. Ah! The glory, all more. But Moses turned and said, Lord, no.
I know this is not the real one. He said, Lord, show me your glory. You know, you that. What did you just see in the tabernacle now? You know, did that. They saw wrong glory, but Moses said, no, show me your glory. What Moses was asking for was the incarnation.
Amen. I know that
you see our father. This is that you see our father. Just listen.
They knew that the Messiah was going to come. Did you? In fact, if you read Look at Deuteronomy quickly. Chapter 18. Okay. Look at verses 15. Let's read that together. Are you there? Look at verses 15. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren like unto me. Do you see that? Unto him shall ye hearken. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they knew. And when Peter picks up this word,
he said that person he was referring to, like unto him, was the Christ.
They heard it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In John 5, verse 39.
Do you know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He says, you search the scriptures. He said to them clearly, you search the scriptures. Say, in them you think you have eternal life. Did you see that? So that means it was clear. That's it. They search. The word search there is where you have the word, is the word anacrino, where you have to investigate. They looked at it diligently like an investigator. They started to say, in them you think you have eternal life. So that means they searched for eternal life. They knew that there was going to be the reign of the Messiah. Did you see that? They knew. And that reign is eternal life. But what did Jesus say? He said, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Is that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means the reign of the Messiah, what Jesus is showing them is that we will find the reign of the Messiah or the conclusion of the scripture on him as the Messiah. Amen? So he will be, his reign will be that eternal reign, will be that eternal life. Is that? The reign of Christ, the reign of the Messiah is the eternal life. But you come to that conclusion. Amen? So, when you hear the Pharisees, it's not that they didn't believe that there is eternal life, but they do. But where their problem is how the eternal life is going to happen. Amen? And I say, how can you, who is the man, say you are God? They couldn't just believe that it happened. So they were expecting it to come out. Like even till today, the Jews will still expect that the favor was going to come from heaven. How is that? Did you see that? Amen. In fact, if you read John 4, the woman at the well, look at what she said. She said, truly, Moses spoke to us concerning what the Christos. I will know when he would come. This is that he will show us all things. Did you see that? So they were expecting the Messiah. Okay, follow me. They were. So they were not in a doubt about what eternal life is. What they're following is actually a reign. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's see how the word eternal life is used in the four Gospels. I guess we'll begin to close from here. In the four Gospels. In Matthew 19, in Matthew 19, are you in Matthew 19? Or verse 16? It says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Did you see that? So it's not that they did not know what I know is the way it is. This is not even with the Pharisees.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is and I will have eternal life.
Okay, follow me. So they knew what eternal life was. Hallelujah.
So they said that I may have eternal life was the word. Look at, okay. That word, to have eternal life there. Look at Jesus' response. That would give us a clue. And he said to him, why call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, watch what Jesus said. So that I may have eternal life was referring to an entrance into it. So it was referring to
reigning or belonging to the Messiah's reign.
That's what it means. That I may enter into eternal life.
That I may enter into life. Did you see that?
Amen. To enter into that reign. So it's a reign.
Okay, following me. It's a reign.
So he said, for you to enter into life, keep the commandments. What he said? Keep the commandments. And he said to him, which commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt do. And he said, I've done all those ones. In 21, if thou would be perfect, go and sell all that thou have and give to the poor. And the guy, he then said, and follow me. That's how you enter. And the young man heard that and went his way sorrowful. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And when he says sell all and give to the poor, it's actually powerful. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
It's not faith. Glory to God. So is it real? Is it rule?
Right? So is it a kingdom war? Is it a kingdom war? Is it the Messiah's reign in the kingdom? What people are you? So eternal life will be the Messiah's reign in the kingdom. In his kingdom.
Hallelujah. Okay, let me run through some commentaries quickly. So he said it will happen when you keep the commandment.
You see that you will enter when you keep the commandment.
Let's explore that word a bit. Chapter 10 of Luke. Luke 10, let's explore that a bit. From verse 25. Luke 10, 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. Did you see this? A certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Did you see that? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he was tempting him. And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? That means this guy, being a lawyer, is a Pharisee. What is written in the law? How readest thou? And the answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Do you see that? You find it in the words of Jesus, right? So he said that, and Jesus said, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Do you see that? When he said, thou shalt live then. Okay. So thou shalt live there will mean you will live in the reign of the Messiah. That's what it means. Thou shalt live. They will live in that reign of the Messiah. So faith, he calls it faith in the Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God in all thy heart. That is faith in the Lord. Right? So, and the second is like unto the first. Now I'm not using the words of Jesus. Right? It's not like unto the first. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? So he said, that is faith in the Lord. And that is to believe. Hope you are following me.
You find also references to the use of the word
eternal life in John 3 verse 36. That's all through John. John 4:14, John 5:24. No, First John 5:13 quickly. First John 5:13. Even if I don't open any scripture, I'll open first John. There are two things I need to show you there. First John 5:13. In 1 John 5, look at the thing. It says, and these things I have written to you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is that? You have eternal life. Believe. This is where belief comes in again. Right? That's faith in the Lord, particularly, yes. So look at verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and had given unto us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and in him that is true. I mean, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God. That is what? That is what? eternal life. Did you see that? Eternal life.
There's a true God has eternal life. So if you get quickly
to chapter, that same chapter 5, verse 11. Let's see that. Verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. It's in his Son. But that says, believing on his Son is to have eternal life. To live in the Messiah's way.
Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. Hallelujah. It's to have eternal life. In Acts 13, let's get back to Acts 13, verses 14. Acts 13, verse 46, sorry. Acts 13, 46. Let's see this written. Acts 13, 46. It says, and Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of the Lord should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it off from you and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. You see that? So a rejection of the gospel is a rejection of eternal life. Amen. Amen. So when you continue verse 48, that says, and the Gentiles heard this, and they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, that they which were ordained to eternal life believed. Hallelujah.
They which were ordained to eternal life believed. It's not like that those that have been ordained to life. That was what God does not know. We have ordained to life. That they were ordained to eternal life believe. That is to say, they which believe are ordained. That is good. They which believe are ordained to eternal life. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. In Romans 6:23, it is called the gift of the Spirit is eternal life. So it's a gift. Hallelujah. Hope you can see that. So eternal life is actually the reign of the Messiah.
You will be found in the Messiah. You will be found in Christ. Okay, we're found in Christ. That is eternal life. We're found in Christ. And it will be in his reign. His reign of the earth.
His reign. Hallelujah. So, quickly, very quickly and very fast. Hallelujah. Like I said, it's something we'll explore. Hallelujah. Something we'll explore. So, when it now says, in that day, we use the word in that day in John 14, in that day.
Which day will be? Would that be? The resurrection, right? Would that be the Messiah's reign?
Basically, yes. That will be the reign.
Hallelujah. Amen. That will be the only resurrection. That will be his reign.
So in that day, you would know.
So that means, when we say we are in his day, does that mean we are in his reign? Are you following me? Is that we are in his kingdom? Basically, yes. Is that eternal life? Yes. Hallelujah.
Hope you're following. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So that will be his day. That will be his day. Hallelujah. So we are in his day. We are in his day.
We are in his heart. We are in his reign. We are in eternal life. We have eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Learn something? Learn something?